Continuing our reading from Paul's letter to Philemon. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done any of you wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to ask, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Well, it's a really divisive time right now. I was reading a couple of weeks ago an article from Reuters News Service, and it was talking about how politics has been dividing families. It told a story about a mother who told her 21-year-old son that she was going to be voting for Trump, and her son said to her, "Well, then you're no longer my mother." And then it told another story about a 39-year-old daughter who told her father that she was going to be voting for Biden, and her father hasn't spoken to her since. And it told story after story like that of couples that have split up, or families that are not getting together, or brothers and sisters who are now estranged, all because of politics. It's become a very divisive time. And you add into that the pandemic and the differing attitudes of how people are reacting to the pandemic. You add to that the racial unrest and tension and how people are expressing or reacting to that. And it just has created this very divisive time right now in our culture. And what we want to be as the Church of Jesus Christ during this time is we want to be a healing presence. We want to be a people who, by the Spirit of God, are bringing people together, bridge builders. And that's why we've been studying the letter of Philemon the past 4 weeks. And this is the last Sunday in this series, because we're wanting to learn from Paul how we can be a bridge builder. Because we think that our issues are big right now. They're not as big as the issues between Philemon and Onesimus. I mean, they were dealing with the issue of slavery. And you had Philemon, who is a master, Onesimus, who's a slave. And Philemon's got wealth and status. Onesimus has no wealth, has no status. And Onesimus has run away, and he has wronged Philemon. And in the Roman culture, there's no way that relationship should work. I mean, maybe a master should let back a runaway slave, but definitely they're not going to be on good terms. And Paul believes that not only should Onesimus come back, but Philemon and Onesimus should sit down at the same table and be family and share communion just like we did today. And the reason why Paul believed that is because Paul believed with all of his heart that Christ brings people together. That no matter what the difference is or what the issue is, that Christ can bring people together. And church, we have to believe that too. And I hope that's one thing that we'll take from this series of Philemon, is that Christ can bring people together. It doesn't matter what our political affiliations are. It doesn't matter what the issues are or what the situation is or what it is that we have between one another. If we are a brother in Christ, if we are sisters in Christ, we can come together through Jesus. We can. Just have to find a way. But how do we do that? Well, this letter, Paul writes this letter to show us how we can do that. And we've talked through the steps of how to mend what is torn. That number one, we have to start with a place of humility. We can't come with arrogance, and we can't come with authority. Instead, we have to come from a place of vulnerability, and we have to humbly throw out the invitation for reconciliation. Number two, last week, we talked about how we have to be willing to let things go and surrender our rights and not always be holding on to our rights, but be willing to overlook offenses and let things go. But then number three, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, there's a third part. And the third part is, if we want there to be reconciliation, we have to be willing to offer grace. To offer grace. In Philemon verse 17, Paul finally gets to the point in the letter where he's going to ask Philemon to do some things. He's written this whole letter, and for the first 16 verses, he's talked about Philemon, he's talked about Onesimus, he's hinted at the situation, but it takes him to get to verse 17 to where he's now actually ready to request something of Philemon. And he has four requests of Philemon. And if you're at home watching or here in the auditorium, I want you to write these four things down if you're taking notes, because this is very important. Four requests that Paul has for Philemon. Number one, he says to Philemon, I want you to accept Onesimus as you would accept me. That when you look at Onesimus, I don't want you to look at him as a runaway slave. Instead, I want you to look at him and see that he's a brother in Christ, and I want you to look at him and see me in him. And how would you treat me? Sometimes if we're having trouble reconciling with someone in our life, if we'll look at them and see in them a person that we love and respect, it can help us. And that's what Paul says. When you look at Onesimus, see me in him. And what would you do with me if I came over to your house? Well, you would welcome me into your home. You would sit me at your table. You would allow me to stay there. Well, treat Onesimus in the way that you would treat me. Accept him as you would accept me. That's request number one. Request number two is charge it to me. Charge it to me. And so Paul says, if Onesimus has wronged you in any way, which it's very possible that Onesimus might have stolen something from Philemon, stolen some money, stolen some possessions, we don't know that for sure. But Paul says, if he has wronged you in some way, Paul says, charge it to me. He's giving an IOU. I will pay it back. Now, that's significant for two reasons. Number one, because Paul understands that Onesimus was a slave, and as a slave, he had nothing. And so if he has wronged Philemon and owes him something, there's no way that Onesimus can pay that back. And so here's Paul as his advocate. He steps in and he says, I'll pay it. Charge it to me. The second thing that's significant about that is that Paul is being very cross-like here. The cross is not mentioned anywhere in the letter, but in this phrase, Paul is demonstrating the cross. Because as we just sang a little while ago, that Christ paid a debt that we couldn't pay, what Paul is saying here is Onesimus has a debt, and he can't pay it, but I'll pay it. He's being like Christ here. Charge it to me. Then number three, refresh my heart in Christ. Paul is using a wordplay here. At the beginning part of the letter, he tells Philemon, I'm so thankful for you because you refresh the hearts of the saints. And then a little bit later, he says, I'm going to send back Onesimus, who is my heart. And then he puts those two ideas together and says, will you refresh my heart in Christ? Will you do for me what you do for other saints? Will you welcome Onesimus? Because that'll be refreshing my heart in Christ. Then number four, prepare a guest room. And I think when Paul says this, what he's trying to say is that even though this is a difficult letter to write, even though this is a hard conversation, Paul wants Philemon to know, you're still my brother, you're still my friend, and whatever your response is to this letter, I still want to see you. I still want to be with you. I want to come to your home. I want to be in your home. And so prepare a guest room. Now, all four of these requests are going to be very difficult for Philemon to do. And the only way that Philemon is going to be able to do them is if Philemon is willing to show grace. And maybe that's the reason why the very first word that Paul says in this letter and the last word that Paul offers in this letter is grace. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says as he begins the letter. And at the very end, he says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Paul understands that if Philemon and Onesimus are going to come together, the only way that that is going to happen and that they're going to reconcile because of all the differences and issues that are between them, it's only going to happen through grace. And so as we wrap up the letter, as the letter is read and finished, we're left with this question. Will Philemon show grace to Onesimus? What is his response? And as they were reading the letter, Onesimus was standing right there. And what is Philemon going to do? How is he going to respond? Will he show grace? You know, grace is a wonderful concept to receive. It is a thorny concept to offer. As one writer described it, he said, "Forgiveness is not some pious hope, but something gritty, rough-edged, an act of will, an acknowledgement of pain, a genuine gift." That sometimes it can be really hard to forgive and show grace. And Philemon really had two potential responses in this situation. And I think they can be illustrated by the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Story about the father who had the two sons, and the youngest son comes to the father and asks for his inheritance, and then he goes off into the far country, uses that inheritance to spend it all on wild living until he's spent everything he has, and then a famine hits the land, needs to find a job, and so all he can find to do is to feed pigs, and while he's feeding pigs, he starts to remember of home, and he thinks, "I'm going to go back home, I'm going to apologize for my sin, and I'm going to ask my father if I could just be a slave. I've run away, and I just want to come back and be a slave." And so the son comes back, and there's two responses. There's the response of the father who sees his son far off, and he runs to meet him, and he hugs him, and he kisses him, puts a robe around him, puts a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and says, "Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party and celebrate because my son was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive." It's a response of grace. But then there was a second response. That was of the elder brother who stayed out in the field. And when he heard there was a party going on because his brother had come back, he didn't want to go into that party because he was upset about it all. His father comes out to him and says, "Hey, why don't you join in the party? We're celebrating because your brother's come back." He says, "I've been working here, slaving away all this time. You've never given me so much as a goat. And now this son of yours spends all this and ride his living, and you're ready to celebrate that he's come back?" It's a response of judgment. Now, I've created two hand motions for these two responses, and so I want every one of us in the auditorium to do these hand motions, and those of you watching at home, I want you to do these hand motions too. So here's the hand motion for the response of grace. It's hands outstretched, so do hands outstretched. Very good. And then here's the hand motion for the response of judgment. It's arms folded like that. Very good. And so the question for Philemon, after that letter was read, and Philemon is standing there, and he's hearing this letter, and Onesimus is standing there because he's come with Epaphras, with Tychicus, who's reading the letter. The question is, how is Philemon going to respond? Is he going to be like this? Or is he going to be like this? Maybe a better question to ask would be, what would you do? What would you do if you're in that situation? Would you respond like this? Or would you respond like this? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is a German theologian, World War II, was executed in Germany. It's said that he was teaching a lesson on forgiveness. And the way he started that lesson was, he said, "Before we get into talking about forgiveness, let's just pause right now and let's just ask ourselves, is there a member of our family or someone in the circle of our friends who we have not forgiven and someone that we have separated in anger from?" And maybe that's what we need to do right now, is just all of us pause and reflect. Is there a member of your family? Is there someone in a circle of your friends or someone here at church, a brother or sister in Christ, who you have not forgiven? And you've separated from them in anger. And if there is such a person, why is it hard for us not to go like this, but instead be like this? This is a hard year. Man, this has been a hard year. We have been forced into so many changes than in any other time probably in our lives. Everything about what we do has changed. Your work probably has changed. The way school functions has changed. How we come to worship has changed. Thanksgiving will change. Everything's changing. And when you have to go through so many changes and you have to react to all those changes, it's so easy to get into an attitude of this. I mean, how much pain and hurt have you been through this year? How much disappointment and disillusionment have you been through this year? How many emotionally charged conversations have you had this year? How many posts have you read that have gotten you emotionally riled up this year? And with all of that going on, it's so easy to become like this. And I have to wonder that Philemon, especially if Philemon lived in 2020, after reading that letter, he was probably going to go like this to Onesimus. But there were two phrases that Paul uses at the very end to try to move Philemon from here to here. And I want you to hear these two phrases because I think we all need them. The first phrase was something he said at the very beginning of verse 17, when he says, "If you regard me a partner." I like that word. That's our word. That's Southside's word, partner in the gospel. And Paul uses it right here. And that word is very similar to the word koinonia, which we talked about a few weeks ago when I talked about the fellowship of faith. The fellowship of faith, where I made the point that it's not simply that you have your faith and I have my faith, but instead that we share faith, that it's a community of faith. We have a collection of faith. We share faith in Jesus. We are partners in faith. And if we share that faith, we also share Christ's grace. And Paul's saying, if you are a partner with me in the grace of God, if you have received grace just like me, and we share that together as partners in the gospel, if you regard me a partner, then share that grace with others. Then the second phrase, as he was talking about, charge it to me. If he's wronged you anyway, charge it to me, and I will pay for it. I will take care of it. He adds this little extra line, not to mention that you owe me your very self. And I don't think Paul's being snarky or sarcastic here when he says this to Philemon. I think what he's saying is he's trying to remind Philemon, hey, when you start counting up all of your economic losses because of Onesimus, don't forget there was a time in your life where you were bankrupt before God. There was a time in your life where you had run away from your master, the Lord Jesus. There was a time in your life where you had a debt that you couldn't pay. It was called your sin. Don't forget that you were in a place where you needed grace, and Christ showed you grace. And so if Christ showed you grace, will you show it to others? That's what Paul was saying. Because Paul believes that whatever the difficulty, whatever the pain, whatever the wrong, whatever the hurt, whatever the grievance, whatever the issue, when we remember that Christ held his hands out for us, it gives us the courage and the ability and the capacity to go from here to here. Because Christ did it for us. So we should do it for others. And sometimes when we show grace in that way, the reconciliation can be really sweet. I was talking with Terry Sitz this past week, who's here with us this morning. He's been attending Southside. Him and his significant other have been attending Southside for several weeks. And Terry came to us through the Abode Ministry and was in the Abode program, and we started teaching, doing the classes there, and Terry started attending those classes, started coming to worship here, being a part of our Hope Ministry and the other classes that were happening here. And God's been working in Terry's life. He told me this past week that he is 2 years clean and sober, just celebrated that. We praise God for that. We really do. And he also told me that just about a little over a week ago, he was able to reunite with all of his children and for the very first time, see some of his grandchildren. Praise God for that. And that is what happens as people share grace with one another. Reconciliation happens, and that's who we are called to be, Southside, ministers of reconciliation. People who are working alongside of others so that reconciliation can happen, so that what has been torn can be mended, and it starts with grace. And so in 2020, if you want to be a healing presence, show grace. And when your spouse gives you a sharp rebuke, show grace. When your coworker gets on your nerves because of what they ask you to do, show grace. When your children are making life hard for you, show grace. When there's a brother and sister in Christ who you feel like has ignored you, show grace. And when there's an issue with someone that you know you should reach out and try to reconcile, but the pain is really great, remember what Christ did and show grace. Because that's what it means to be a partner in the gospel. And that's how what is torn can be mended. We're going to have a time of invitation, and if there is a relationship in your life where you need to forgive and you need to show grace, but it is just really hard right now, let us know. I'm going to be up here. Some of our elders are going to be up here. We'd love to pray with you and encourage you, to minister to you. If there's any way we can help you, please let us know as we sing. If you want to be baptized into Christ, receive grace, the grace of Jesus, let us know that as well. Let's come now as together we stand and sing.